Good morning. Would you please join me in the prayer of illumination? Abba, Father, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, we may receive a deeper understanding of your word. Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 7, verses 54. Until we get to chapter 8. Those of you who are able, please stand to honor God's word. Stephen has already been arrested and has sternly admonished the high priests for having ignored the Holy Spirit in generations past and present. The stoning of Stephen. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died, and Saul approved of their killing him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we were at each other's throats again. My older brother and I were jumping on the trampoline, and we liked to double bounce each other, which means instead of jumping a few feet in the air, you jumped twice as high into the air. But there was one problem. Occasionally, instead of double bouncing each other up, we would double bounce each other out, into the rocks, into the tree, onto the fence, which was nearby, which was a bad decision by my parents, by the way. And if you're looking for evidence of the existence of guardian angels, I submit to you the fact that my brother and I never broke any bones while being double bounced out is incontrovertible proof of the existence of guardian angels. But even though this bouncing out was always an accident, well, almost always an accident, don't tell my brother, that day I took it very personally. And so I got up and I charged my obviously malicious brother. And as for the rest of the scuffle, well, remember, I was the younger brother. And so I only remember the two fights that I won. And that day, I just don't remember the details of that particular fight. As with many of our fights, though, when my parents would try to understand, you know, the genesis of the fight, they would trace the litany of offenses that led us to that conflict. It would always go something like this. You know, Cody charged me. That's because Chris bounced me into the rocks intentionally. Well, that's because Cody always is invading my personal space. That's because Chris never shares. Well, that's because Cody doesn't ask, he just takes. Like when he stole my He-Man action figure when he was 2 years old. That would still come up even when we were teenagers. And so if you believe that logic, that every fight of ours was created, was required, because I had stolen his He-Man action figure 10 years prior. I'm going to do a little poll here, so raise your hand if you agree with this statement. If you believe that this is correct logic, please raise your hand. All right, well, we got a couple votes there, so people with older brothers, probably. So let's do a different poll. If you believe that there was some other way for my brother and I to handle that day on the trampoline, please raise your hand. All right. So almost all of you agree that there is some other way of handling that. But many times in my life, I know you don't ever do this, but many times in my life, when someone asks me, why did you do that? I have answered, because I had to. Many times in my life, I have felt like there is only one option available to me. Many times in my life, I have felt like the circumstances of my life have dictated my response. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said that you did something because you had to? Have you ever felt like there's only one option, one path forward, one way available to you? Have you ever felt that the circumstances of your life have dictated your response? I don't know about you, but I often find it much easier to see other people's options rather than my own. It is much harder for me to see how I can escape the had to than for me to see how someone else can escape their had to. For instance, that day on the trampoline, I saw no other option than charging my brother, but almost everyone here thought that there were other options available to me. It is far easier to see other people's options than our own. And so we often feel that the circumstances of our life dictate our responses. But Stephen certainly saw other options available to him as he responded to his life circumstances. While they were stoning him, killing him, he prays. First, he prays for himself, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Fair enough. But then he prays for the ones who are actually killing him. And he prays it in a loud enough voice that they can hear it. He prays, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Well, let me picture what's happening to him while he's praying that prayer. A Jewish rabbi wrote down the stoning process, so we know it was probably something like this. 4 cubits from the place of stoning, the criminal is stripped. The drop from the place of stoning was twice the height of a man. One of the witnesses pushes the criminal from behind so that he falls face downward. He's then turned over on his back. If he dies from the fall, that is sufficient. If not, the second witness takes the stone and drops it on his heart. If this causes death, that is sufficient. If not, he is stoned by all the congregation of Israel. In other words, Stephen is praying, even though he has already been pushed off a 10 to 12 foot ledge face down. He is praying even though people are throwing rocks at him after that. I don't know about you, but that's probably not the first response that would have come to my mind. If I couldn't bless my brother for accidentally bouncing me off a trampoline, could I really bless the people who are throwing rocks at me, who are killing me? And yet that's what Stephen does. I find it interesting that Stephen is the first Christian martyr, the first one to die for his faith in Christ, but he wasn't the first Jewish martyr. There are stories of plenty of Jews who have died for their faith. And a Jewish scholar studied this story of Stephen and looked at Jesus's as well, and then looked at all these stories of the martyrs. And he found that this response, this prayer, had never been said before. We have Jesus on the cross praying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. We have Stephen emulating that prayer, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. But the Jewish scholar said this is a religious advance. No one had thought of this before Jesus, and no one had emulated it before Stephen. Plenty of people had prayed for the Lord to accept their spirits, just as Stephen did first. Plenty of people had prayed for the Lord to avenge their deaths, but no one had thought to pray for the ones who were killing them. As we consider Stephen, I believe we get the answer to my earlier question. Do life's circumstances dictate our response? When we look at Stephen, I believe we see the answer is a resounding no. There isn't only one way to respond to life's circumstances. There isn't a had to when your brother bounces you off a trampoline. There isn't a had to when your enemies surround you and attack you. From the smallest offenses to the most heinous atrocity, life's circumstances do not dictate our response. There are options. Now, the options don't always end well, as we might define that. Stephen still dies, even though he prays this amazing prayer. But his heart, his soul, his character, his faith, his witness, they were all still up for grabs. Praying forgiveness upon your enemies had always been an option. It's just no one thought of it until Jesus, and no one emulated it until Stephen. Now the crowd, they seem to be making a very different choice. Perhaps they are allowing life's circumstances to dictate their response. Verse 57, they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. If you're wondering what Stephen said to so enrage this crowd, I encourage you to read the rest of Acts chapter 7. See his speech as he's on trial. John mentioned that he had already been arrested, and this was a trial. He dishes it out pretty strongly, though. He compares the people listening to the earlier generations who had killed the prophets. He tells them that they have misunderstood Scripture. And then the final straw is this vision he shares with them. This vision of the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This was too much for them. Because they would have known what he's talking about. They would have known that for someone to be standing at the right hand of God would have to be an equal to God. They would understand that he was saying Jesus is God. And for that to be true, their entire worldview would have to change. Everything about who they are and what they do would be called into question if that vision were true. That struck at the core of their most closely held beliefs. Have you ever been challenged to your core? Have you ever had someone challenge a part of your identity, question your integrity, maybe call your faith unintelligent, or belittle your attempts at work or parenting? How did you feel if that has happened to you? Can you identify with the crowd's angry response? I know I can. I have been filled with anger. I have ground my teeth when I have been challenged to my core. But the life circumstances dictate our response. Or did the crowd have some other option? Did they have some other way of handling this challenge to their very being? Three teenagers were seen fleeing the scene of a murder. And based on the testimony of a 12-year-old boy, they were sent to prison for life. 28 years later, this 12-year-old boy, now a 40-year-old man, admitted that he had been pressured by the police and had made it all up. And so, what would you want to say to the person who had lied and sent you to prison for 28 years? Well, these three men, teenagers when they went in, now they're grown men. When they got the opportunity, they said two words, exactly two words, to the person who had lied and sent them to prison. Can you guess what they were? Thank you. They said thank you. Thank you for finally telling the truth. One of them explained why they said this. They took advantage of a 12-year-old kid. Being angry won't solve anything. I'm trying to heal myself. Hopefully, he can heal himself. This is a part of healing, to forgive him so that I can move on with my life. That's a little bit more like Stephen than the crowd. That's choosing a better way, not falling into the had-tos of life's circumstances. That is being, like Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, we're celebrating the birth of the church on Pentecost. You know, we heard the story in the call to worship. If you remember several weeks ago, we heard Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church, and we mentioned that Peter gave a sermon that resulted in 3,000 people being baptized that day. If you go and read and compare Acts 2 and Acts 7, Peter's sermon and Stephen's speech, they're very similar, similar themes. And yet Peter's resulted, the crowd chose 3,000 of them to believe. Stephen's crowd chose to be enraged and to murder him. Different hearts produced very different results. And so hopefully you're picking up with all these stories that life's circumstances do not dictate our response. There are options. And one of those options is to be like Stephen, like those teenagers imprisoned for 28 years, filled with the Holy Spirit, to forgive, even to pray for your enemies. What is going on in your life right now where you feel boxed in, where you have a case of the had-tos in life's circumstances, where you feel you only have one option, where someone is pushing your buttons, where maybe you are being filled with bitterness as a result of pain and suffering. Life circumstances do not dictate our response. You aren't boxed in. There isn't a had to. There isn't only one way forward. Retaliation isn't the only choice. Bitterness is not the only way. I mentioned that my brother and I used to fight frequently. Not too long after that day on the trampoline, though, we both started to choose a different response, a different way, whenever we made each other mad. And over the next couple of years, not overnight, next couple of years, we went from adversaries to friends. And so it was with great joy that I was able to complete the circle with my brother. When he got married, I was the best man, had the privilege of the floor in the best man's speech, always a dangerous thing. And in that speech, I reminded my brother that every fight we used to have would always come back to that He-Man action figure that I had stolen. And so I presented him at his wedding with a new He-Man action figure to symbolize, instead of everything that drove us apart, now everything that brought us together. And I was so grateful that day that we had chosen a different path. We hadn't allowed the had-tos to control us forever. We were friends, not adversaries, because we knew, eventually figured out, there wasn't just one way to respond. We could choose a different way. Where could you use a different response in your life? Where do you want the Spirit to fill you, as the Spirit filled Stephen, as the Spirit filled those teenagers wrongfully imprisoned? Where do you want a different way forward? If you want something a little more tangible, Jesus has you covered. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." If you're feeling boxed in right now, if you're feeling forced down a path, if you have a case of the had-tos due to life's circumstances, and if you want a different option, go to the Lord in prayer. You can pray for yourself just as Stephen does. That's fair enough. But can you also pray for the very people and circumstances that are attacking you, that are pushing your buttons, that are resulting in bitterness in your heart? Life circumstances do not dictate our response. We have options. Now, there's no guarantee that it's all going to end well. Stephen still died. Remember, the man who was wrongfully imprisoned said, "This is a part of my own healing, to forgive him so that I can move on with my life." Our hearts, our souls, our lives need the way of forgiveness. They need the way of the Holy Spirit before they can move on. And so my prayer for all of us this Pentecost, the day that we celebrate the unexpected, unimaginable power of the Holy Spirit in our world and in our lives, my prayer is that we would allow the Spirit into every place in our hearts, every place in our souls, every place in our lives, even the places and the people where we feel attacked, where we feel bitter, where we feel our buttons are being pushed, where we have a case of the had-tos, where we think we have only one option, even those places, through the Spirit, there is another way. And for that, I say thanks be to God.